today, you and your fam. Great to have you on board with us this morning. There's a few things I want to make you aware of that are coming up this week that I don't want you to miss out on. For all the boys, whether you're online or in the room, this Thursday night we're going to our pool night. We're playing pool at a Matchroom Snooker Hall, Compton Road. You can get a card or all the details are on our web page if you want to go there. Check it out. You need to register, pre-register, and let us know that you're coming. It costs $7 and it starts at 7 p.m. So register at the Ask Me desk, flick us an email, bring a mate. It's a great night just to bring a friend along and introduce them to a bunch of guys from Church World. That's this Thursday, 7 p.m. at Matchroom Snooker out at Callum Vale. The other deal that we've got on is next Sunday. Next Sunday we're having a multicultural service celebrating all the expressions of the different nationalities that we have in church life. And it's a theme we want to run with on a yearly basis, and so this year is kind of the first for that. We're going to have some different singing in different languages. It'll be spectacular. There'll be a bit of dance, which I will not be involved in, so people will be dancing and that will be great, and just focused around the whole thought that it's people from every tribe, every nation and every tongue that are gathered unto the Lord. And of course, we're a multicultural church. We really are. We live in a very multicultural society here in Logan City, and we want to celebrate that together. Now, the big news is we're having a feast afterwards. Everyone say feast. We are not doing morning tea. We are doing a feast, and so it's going to be lunch. And I need to pre-warn people about that lunch, just so that you are prepared. We're going to have a pig on a spit, a pig that will be pre-cooked, and it will be the full pig. Everyone say full pig. Head to tail, full pig in the foyer that we are going to consume, which I am very much looking forward to. And so we'll have that. We're going to have some other options in terms of food that's available for lunch, different cultural expressions of food. I am so much looking forward to that. You know, it's one of the things that I really miss once we move from Sunnybank Hills down to where we are in Tambourine, because out at Sunnybank Hills are all my favourite Asian restaurants, and I really miss them all now that I'm living down in the bush. And so bringing multicultural food to our service next weekend is going to be very, very dynamic and exciting. We are going to ask people to pay for lunch next Sunday. This is unusual for us, but it's because of the magnitude of what we're doing. And so we're going to ask you to contribute to be involved in the luncheon. It'll be $10 per person, or for a family of four up to the age of 12, do the math, a family of four up to the age of 12 in terms of the kids, it's $25 for a family. Now, we want to make it reasonable for everybody to be involved, so if you're struggling with that, come and talk to us. Just let someone know at the Ask Me desk. We'll make a contact with you, and we'll see what we can do to make sure that you can be involved on the day. I'd like you to stand to your feet while we pray for some people, if you would please. I want us to just for a moment be mindful of a couple that are in our church, Michael and Sally Ann, that are reasonably new to our church. Their little granddaughter this week is taken ill, and she's currently in the hospital at Toowoomba. It's little Rose. She's only 7.5 months of age. Her mum and dad are Daniel and Naomi, and she had some spasms, like 30 odd spasms within an hour, and they're thinking possibly epilepsy, but it's not good for a baby to have that amount of spasms involved, and so they're very, very concerned. The doctors are concerned, and we're going to pray for Michael and Sally Ann and Daniel and Naomi, and of course Rose, right now. We're also going to pray for others that are sick and unwell, and maybe in your family, your household, around your world, or maybe you, if you have need, or others in need in your sphere. Why don't you lift up your hand right now? If you're online, we're praying for you and with you today also. Heavenly Father, we come before you today as the God that loves people. And Father, we're praying today for our friends, Michael and Sally Ann, that they're children, Lord, Naomi and Daniel, son-in-law, and we're praying for little Rose. We're just praying right now, Father, that the Holy Spirit's presence would be all around this little baby, this little young one, Father. Lord, with what's going on inside of her body, that's a little bit of a mystery at the moment. We bring it to you, and we're praying, Holy Spirit, hold her close. May she be, by the blood of Jesus, made well. Keep her safe in this journey. It's delicate at the moment. There's a lot of mystery and unknown surrounding her, Father, and we just speak faith and life and health into her body, into her heart, into her mind, right now in Jesus' name. Keep Mum and Dad, Daniel and Naomi, calm, peaceful, trusting in you right now. For Michael and Sally Ann, the grandparents, Father, we're just praying that once again you would be close to them, give them every confidence, God, that you're hearing their prayer, you're standing with them, you're supporting them in this hour of need. Father, I pray for others today that are unwell, that are carrying sickness, disease, issues, some really significant, some not quite so significant, but they're important to all of us. And so we pray today for health and life in the name of Jesus. You are a miracle working God. We believe that with all of our hearts. And so we pray today for life, life, life to everybody in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen, amen, amen. Thank you. You can take your seats. Tonight we're meeting for our leaders team talk night. If I can take a moment just to address that. Our team talk nights are really important to me as lead pastor and to our ministry team. We take 4 moments during the year where we gather all of our volunteers, that serve on team, no matter what capacity, no matter what team you're on, whether you're a team leader or a member of the team, we ask you to be involved in those nights and to prioritize them. So it's tonight, 6 p.m. in the cafe. We're doing potlucks, so bring along your fave meal, whatever that could be. Bring it along. We're going to share. We're going to enjoy some food together. Then I'm going to speak to all of our team. I'm going to speak about the 9 tests of leadership. And tonight I'm going to address 3 of them. I'm going to do it over several different nights that we gather throughout the year. And so please don't miss that. If you're online, if you could be here tonight, that would be wonderful. We look forward to seeing you. If you can't be here, if you'd let us know, then we would greatly appreciate that. I want to conclude today the series that we've been on for the last 4 weeks or so. We've been focusing on a series of sermons around the character of Esther from the book in the Old Testament that carries her name. Esther, this beautiful young lady that rose all the way to the palace in terms of leadership in Persia, and God chose her and enabled her to become a queen that would be used to speak up to protect his people. So we've been on this journey for 4 weeks. I want to continue today, kind of bouncing off the thought that Pastor Marichal shared so powerfully last week for us. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1 says everything. Would you say that word for me? Would you say it with a little bit of passion, like you're awake at 9 a.m. on a Sunday morning? Everything. Everything on earth has its own time and its own season. I want you to know that you have a time and you have a season, and the series title has been Your Turn, Your Time. Your Turn, Your Time. Everything and everyone has a time and has a season. And the thought we've been expressing is you're not waiting for your season, you're in it right now. It started when you were born, it'll end when you die. It's your turn, it's your time right now. Don't waste your time. Don't waste your time. Don't think it's going to come one day. You're in your one day right now. This is your turn, this is your time. You know, when I think about life and the brief period of time we have here on this earth, I think we really undervalue the ordinary. I think we really undervalue and underhighlight the importance of the everyday when it's not really that spectacular. Is there anyone in the room that has a lot of very unspectacular days, if that's even a word? Come on, just ordinary days. And you look on Facebook and it looks like all of your friends and all the other people are living the most amazing, spectacular lives that are totally fake. Because that's what fake book is all about. And the truth is, we have a lot more ordinary days, mundane days, ordinary things that we do that I think need to be given a whole lot more cheer on than they really deserve, because I think it's our ordinary that sets us up for our extraordinary. It's how we do the ordinary journey, the ordinary things, the mundane things, the things that we don't even really give second thought to, because we're so conditioned that we just do this day in, day out. I think there's amazing value in being present in your ordinary moments, and if you do them well, they will help set up the extraordinary moments that God will bring your way. In actual fact, if you don't do them well, you're never going to say hello to the extraordinary. If you don't do the ordinary, mundane, routine, basic things well in life, there's no sense of God promotion on our lives. And I think many miss out on the big moments because they don't do the small moments, those ordinary moments well. If you can't do the ordinary well, then you'll never handle the extraordinary that God wants to bring each one of us into. The basic things are so important to do well. Esther, when we think of Esther, this beautiful young lady, she grew up without her mum and dad. She grew up as an orphan raised by her uncle Mordecai in exile in Persia. She was a Jewish girl. Her people were considered second class citizen. The Jews were despised by the Persians, and Esther could have quite easily, growing up in that dynamic of being an orphan, of secondly being among a despised people group, she could have quite easily grown up disqualifying herself for what God had planned her to be one day when she reached the palace as the newly appointed queen of Persia. But she didn't. She held herself well in the ordinary moments. She held herself well in the painful circumstances, in the grief moments, in the loss moments that we all have. She held her poise, her dignity, and her beauty. And her uncle Mordecai, he helped her believe and he helped her take her step forward to understand that she was enough. She was enough. And she had everything that she needed for her turn and for her time. And for Esther to understand that the things that she thought may have disqualified her were actually the things that qualified her to be used very powerfully of God. These were the words that Mordecai whispered into the ear of Esther as he was prompting her, urging her to stand up and be the voice in terms of speaking up for her people when she became queen. Mordecai said, "And who knows but that you have come to your royal position, that you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this." We started talking about potential, about potential, and for each of us to realize and understand that there's a whole lot of God potential packaged in every one of us that needs to be unpacked, that we would understand it's our turn, it's our time. We then went on to talk about how our potential needs to be linked to purpose. And for us as believers and people of faith, that our potential is linked to our God purpose. That there's a God purpose for your short time on earth. There's a God plan. There's a God pathway. There's God thoughts and God imaginations and God dreams and God's ideas that he has for you that are deposited in you, that are being unpacked on a daily basis. They really are. They're being unpacked for us. And then last week, Pastor Marichal talked about distractions, how we've all got to deal with the distractions that present themselves in life, those little detours. Anyone in the room ever had a detour? Anyone in the room ever gone the wrong way? Anyone ever made a mistake? Anyone ever got themselves in trouble? Anyone ever goofed up? Anyone ever messed up? Anyone ever stuffed up? Yeah, I'm preaching to the right group of people then. Distractions, they happen to us all. And the thing about distractions is they turn into excuses. They turn into reasonings as to why I can't do what I think or thought God wanted me to do, or why I can't be the person that God wants me to do. And the truth is, people do get distracted. We get distracted. We all get distracted. And distraction, it leads to discouragement. And discouragement and despondency leads to a sense of disconnectedness. And if I've observed anything in this season over the last few years in church world, I've observed distraction, I've observed discouragement, and I've observed disconnection from friendships, from relationships, from faith, from church, from God. I've seen people that I thought were leaning right in who fell out during this season. And so our appeal to you is, don't hold lightly what God holds heavily. Don't hold lightly in your world and heart what God says is of great value. Know the things that are precious pearls for you in your world. And so today I want to be really practical. I want to speak into the heart of some things that I see as being the mundane, the ordinary, the basic, the practical areas of life that help set up our potential to be unpacked as we journey on this pathway of following God. And the first thing I want to say to every person in the room today is, you are enough and you have enough for your time. You are enough and you have enough for your time. I say that because the excuse that many people would offer and give when it comes to being the person they know God has called them to be and to do the things that God has asked them to do is, I'm not enough. I'm not enough. And God, you don't know me. You don't know me. Or I lack this. I don't have the right education. I don't have the right opportunity. I don't have enough intelligence. I don't have enough availability or energy or whatever it might be. Whatever your excuse, God has an answer. Whatever your excuse, God has an answer. The truth is, and I believe this with all my heart, you have everything you need to do what God has planned for you to do. You have everything you need to do what God has planned for you to do. If God wants you to do it, He's going to make a way. If God wants you to do it, He's depositing the resources that you need in your heart, your life, and your world for it to be done. Peter says it this way in 2 Peter 1:3. He says, God's divine power, His power, think about that. His divine power. This is the same power that spoke the universe and the world and the galaxies into being. This is the same power that created trees and seas and skies and stars and a man and a woman. This is the same power that created this ecosystem that we enjoy that is not found anywhere else throughout the universe and galaxies. It's His divine power. That's the same Holy Spirit that hovered over an earth when there was nothing and it brought life. That's the same creative power that Jesus is said to have created everything by. That's the same person that Jesus is, that the Bible says is life to us and for us. His divine power, not your power. Everyone say His. His. His divine power. Thank the Lord it doesn't say my power. Because my power is weak. My power is flawed. My power is compromised. My power is challenged. Whereas His power knows no end. His divine power has granted to us all things. Everyone say all things. All things. It's granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. In other words, God has given you everything you need to get the job done and to be the person that God has called you to be. God has given you everything that you need. You lack nothing. I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me, said the Apostle Paul. Not some things, all things. All things. God has given you everything that you need that pertains to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence. God has given you everything you need. God has given you everything that you need. It's in there in seed form, and it's in the process of being unpacked. Everything that pertains to life is granted to us by the power of God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, by the person of Jesus Christ, and the providence of God the Father. And it's really important to know that. And the reason it's important to know that is because life has its way, and the challenges of life have their way of trying to convince us that we are not enough, and that we don't have enough. And that, God, you've got the wrong person. You've got the wrong man. You've got the wrong woman. You don't know me. You don't know my deficiencies, my struggles, my stress. You don't really know God. And we try and convince God that he's made a mistake. God didn't make a mistake when he made you. He made you perfect. Amen. Thank you for that one person. Just turn to your neighbor and wink. Perfect. He made you perfect. He made you to be the person that he wanted you to be. You might look a little bit different. That's okay. You might talk a little different. That's okay. You might think a little bit different. That's okay. You might be on the border of weird. That's okay. We got all sorts. God has made us just the way he wanted us to be. There's a man called Moses in the Old Testament. You've probably heard of him. He's one of the big stars. But he didn't start as a big star. When he was a baby, his mother put him in a basket and put him on the river and left him there. Good mothering. That's mothering 101 right there. Put him on a basket, put him on the Nile River, in the reeds, walked away about 50 metres, kept an eye on him. Now, if you did that today, child services would be coming after you. They'd be wanting to talk to you. That's not a good way to parent. But she did it because she wanted to save his life. Because there was a bad man. Everyone say bad man? Bad man called Pharaoh. Wanted all the boys killed. And so Moses' mother hit him on the river in a basket. So she did a bad thing because she had a good thing in mind. She had a good thing in mind, was to protect her son. Moses was taken into the palace by Pharaoh's daughter and raised in the palace. It looked like he was discarded, but what looked like being discarded was actually a promotion. And he was raised in the palace, went to the finest of schools, ate the finest of food, was raised in the finest of atmospheres and environments that could possibly be experienced. Moses had a speech impediment. It was a speech impediment that really caused him to be intimidated socially when he spoke for other people. He wasn't the kind of person to stand on stage and speak. As a young man, he got mixed up in a fight. He saw a Hebrew slave who was being beaten, and so he stepped in and he defended the Hebrew slave and ended up killing the Egyptian who was fighting him. And this caused Moses to have to flee Egypt for 40 years and hide as a fugitive in the wilderness and create a new life, a new world, a new moment for himself. With all that background in mind, it's quite understandable how Moses, when he stood in front of that burning bush in the desert, when he has an encounter with God, and God says to him, Moses, I want you to be the man. I want you to lead my people out of Egypt. I want you to go and set them free. I want you to be the spokesperson. I want you to go and see Pharaoh and say, enough's enough. And I want you to be that voice. I want you to be that person. It's understandable when you read there where Moses says, God, you got the wrong man. You got the wrong guy. You don't know me. God, I don't speak very well. I don't know whether you've noticed, but I have this stuttering issue. I get nervous. I get intimidated. There is no way I'm going to stand in the presence of Pharaoh. I know Pharaoh. I grew up in his house. I know what he's like. I'm not going to stand before him and be that voice. I can't do what you want me to do. I'm not the right person. I don't have what it takes. I'm not enough. Have you ever said that? Have you ever thought that about yourself? I'm not enough. When you've gone for that interview, when you've applied for that job. I don't know any job that I've ever applied for that I've thought I was enough for it. I've always felt not enough for the jobs that I've applied for. And it always surprised me when I got the job. Because God always thought that I was enough. God thinks you're enough. God thought Moses was enough. Here he is saying, I can't talk. I can't speak properly. But the big issue for him was this. God, there's too much pain in my life. There's too much shame. and so I can't be that face. There's too much pain, there's too much shame, and I can't be that face. And I know there are people here today, you have pain and you have shame and you think you can't be the face, but I want to say to you today, you are enough and you have enough, and God's call still remains on you to be the person that God has wanted and called you to be. And what you thought has disqualified you is actually the thing that is qualifying you. And to understand this truth, you are born at the right time, you are in the right place, and you are in the right circumstances to do what God has planned for you to do. There is no circumstance, there is no time, and there is no place that is an excuse to excuse you and disappoint you from what God has appointed you for. You are the right color, you are the right gender, you are the right age, you are the right person, you are the right shape, you have the right experiences to fulfill your God assignment. So stop excusing yourself in your mind, your heart, or your soul. Don't reduce yourself, don't discount yourself, don't disqualify yourself. What you think has disqualified you has actually qualified you to stand on the platform that God has designed for you. Now, if you're going to realize and release all of the potential that God has placed within you, then you need to know that you are enough and you have everything that you need for your time. You know, the thing I love about God is God has this amazing way, and Pastor Marichelle said this last week, God has the amazing way of taking the bad and the ugly and the unfortunate and turning it all around for good. He has the amazing way of doing that. We call it grace, that he has the ability to take those moments that you confessed you had a few moments ago, those mess ups, those goof ups, those things that have taken place in life, that God can use the good, the bad, the ugly, the broken for his good purpose. If you partner with him, he can turn it all around. Romans 8:28 says, and we know, I wish we knew it. And we know, says Paul, you've got to know this. And we know that all things work together for good for them that love God. Anyone in the room love God? Come on, anyone in the room love God? All things work together for the good of those that love God and to them who are called according to his purpose. I think we all need to know we're called. We're called today by God, for God, to achieve his purpose. So the first thing we need to know is that we are enough, we have enough. The second thing that's a basic thing that we all need to be doing is we need to consult our Creator. Consult your Creator. Just talk to God. Talk to God on a regular basis. Consult means to seek information, advice, and to seek wisdom. Now, we've talked previously throughout this series about how we don't get to decide our potential. We get to discover it. We get to discover it. You don't know who you're yet to become. You're still in the process of becoming. You're still in the process of becoming the best version of you. The best version of you. And that's a process. For some, it's a really slow process that God is creating in you. Don't judge it by its time. We talked about how you can't be anything that you want to be, but you can be everything. Would you say everything? Everything that God has called you to be. So my advice is, don't be anything, be everything. Don't be anything, be everything. Don't be anything, don't try to be anything you want to be. Try and be everything God has called you to be and that God says you can be. So go to your Creator. Talk to God. See, your designer knows you better than anybody else. He knows what the purpose and plan is for you. And he wants to mold your life. And for me, this means open your Bible and read his word. Open your Bible and invest yourself in having a relationship with the word of God. You want to experience God, you'll experience him in the pages of his book. You'll experience him in the pages and the stories of other people, in the history of what's happened, in the Gospels, in all the books of the Bible. You'll experience the plan and the purpose of God. You'll see yourself in it. I hope you've seen yourself in the book of Esther, that God can take anybody, no matter what's happened in their world, and open doors and promote opportunities to them and bring them to a place where they're used for the plan and the purpose of the kingdom of God, if they'll allow God to do that. that. I see myself in the book of Esther. I hope you see yourself in the book of Esther. As you read your Bible, it'll mold your life. Psalm 100 verse 3 says that it is He, it's God who made us and we are His. I found that out in my Bible. I found that out in my Bible when I read in the book of Genesis where God created a man and a woman, Adam and Eve, and they populated the earth. I found the fact that God is a creator and the sustainer of life, and everything that's created is created by Jesus and for Jesus. If you're created by Jesus, you're created for Him. There's purpose given to that life that God has given you. You only find that out in God's book. Colossians 1:16, Paul says, for everything, absolutely everything, above and below, visible and invisible, rank after rank, after rank of angels, everything got started in Him and finds its purpose in Him. I'm not sure where you're finding your purpose today. I'm not sure what source is feeding your purpose, but I pray and I hope and I encourage you to make it God. That you'd understand your purpose is in Him and it's for Him. So reading your Bible, it'll explain God's plan for your life. It'll unfold the pathway of following God. And you know, the truth is, a lot of people don't understand their purpose because they're not reading the plan. They don't understand their purpose because they're not reading their plan. And they want to go to a prophet to tell them their purpose. The prophet can't tell you the purpose if you're not reading the plan. Because the prophet can tell you anything and you'll believe it. It's true. Sometimes I feel that people want me to be a magician. I'm not a magician. I don't pull rabbits out of my hat. I wish I did. It would be wonderful. But I don't. I can't lead you and feed you what you're not feeding yourself. My responsibility is the declaration, the proclamation. The responsibility of every one of us is to feed ourselves in the Word of God and on the Word of God. I believe the Word of God teaches us to live our best life ever so that we can become the best version of ourselves to fulfill the plan and purpose of God here on earth. If you ignore the plan by not reading the plan and understanding the pathway, what happens is our lives often end up abusing and misusing the life purpose for which God has given us. Psalm 119, 105 says, God, your word, it's a lamp to my feet, it's a light to my path. You know, when it's dark, you want light, you need light. And that's what the Word of God is for us. It's a lamp and it's a light for us. What God's Word does is it teaches us to surrender to His plan, to His purpose, to His promises, and to His providence. Consult your Creator. The next thought I have that's very practical for every one of us is that we need to lean in to learn. Lean in to learn. You know, every school teacher, every educator, every coach, every pastor, every preacher knows when people are leaning in and when people are leaning out. Every group, every crowd, every classroom has those that are leaning in that are eager beavers and those that are leaning out that are bored and have already left the room. We know that. We read people. It's part of the gift that's on either a teacher's life or an educator's life or a coach's life or a pastor's life is we read. We read people. And I think that one of the things that is very practical and basic that helps every one of us grow and develop is to have a posture of leaning in. Not just a body posture, a posture in our soul, our spirit, our mind that really leans in. And we need to lean in to get wisdom is what the Bible says. Proverbs 4:7 says, getting wisdom is the wisest thing you can do. And whatever else you do, develop good judgment. Wisdom is what we're here to pursue. Pastor Marichal talked about distractions last week. You know, the greatest enemy of good intentions is distraction. It's distraction. There's so much distraction in our world today. So many voices, so much chatter, so much noise, so much white noise, so much social media noise, so much Facebook noise, fake noise that's around our world. So many options, so many opinions. Like in Paul's day when he said, you've got so many that want to be your teacher, but you only have one father, and I am your father, is what he says. And I think today there's so many influences in our world. We've got to understand what it is that we allow to influence us. What do you know about them? What do you know about their values? What do you know about their beliefs? Not just do they look good on a camera and are they influential in the way they speak. Do you know them? Do you know them? Do you know them? Paul was saying that really when he wrote that, that thought is, I am like a father to you. I care for you. There's nothing I wouldn't do for you. I just don't want a platform in your life. I want to be a pillar in your life. And that's what we need to look for in terms of the people that are around our world that influence us. Not all noise is equally beneficial. Not all noise is equally beneficial. Not every voice should be given space in your heart and soul and mind. And I think today it's getting harder and harder with the expansiveness of knowledge. It's harder and harder for people to acquire wisdom. Defining what is wisdom, what is right, what is appropriate. Because the gaining of wisdom requires that you shut down other voices and lean in and hear and uncover and understand and focus on the wisdom of God as what I'm presenting today. Here's a little truth for every one of us. Not everything you hear needs to go on Facebook. Not everything you hear needs to go on Facebook, and not everything on Facebook is true. Oh, really? Yes, really. Not everything on Facebook is true. There is a lot of news out there that has not come from a foundation of truth. And so if I'm wise, I don't share everything that I see on Facebook as being gospel. Because once I share it, I'm associated with it. I'm associated with that group. Now, when the Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God, what it actually means is seek God's way of doing things. Seek God's way of understanding, God's way of application. What does God think about this? How does God really want me to live? Rather than our way, our family's way, our culture's way even, or our community's way, seek God's way of doing things. You know, Proverbs chapter 4 is pure gold. It is pure gold, Proverbs chapter 4. It's wisdom for life, food for your soul. In Proverbs 4, it says this in verse 20. My son, pay attention to what I say. Turn your ear to my words. It's a posture of inclining. Turn your ear to my words. In other words, it's pay attention. Do you know the Bible is full of pay attention moments? Pay attention moments. If I could go back to my education, I wish I took more attention and paid more attention when I hit those pay attention moments throughout my journey of education. Because there was plenty of moments when I wasn't paying attention. Anyone else guilty of not paying attention? Anyone not paying attention right now? It's an issue. This is an issue for teachers. This is an issue for educators. People in the room, but they're not paying attention. Pay attention. Sit up straight. Shoulders back. Give me a duster. They were good old days when the teachers could throw dusters to get people to pay attention. The Bible has a lot of pay attention to moments. When God says pay attention, it's for a good reason. I understand that now because I'm maturer. Not old. Maturer. When I was young, I didn't really understand all of that. But pay attention. It's like a yellow flashing light in an intersection. A yellow flashing light, for your information, actually means don't drive through it. And if you drive through it and it goes red before your wheels hit the other side, your back wheels, you're going to get a ticket. Because it's warning you. There are a lot of amber flashing lights in God's word. Proverbs 4:21 and 22 says, do not let my words out of your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to one's whole body. Why do I want to consult God's word for the plan and the pathway? Because there's life in it. There's life in it. There's health in it. He goes on and says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. All the issues of life come out of your heart. They flow out of your heart. The verbiage, the speak, the conversation is a heart issue. It's what you allow to go around that part of your soul, your mind, your thought processes, your thought center. And we've got to get that dealt with and be dealt with in the Word of God. So we need to pay attention to God's Word. If it gets in our ear and in our heart and in our mind, it'll be life and health for us. The next practical area I want to talk to in regards to a lot of people in the room is work your work. Work your work. In regards to releasing potential, work plays a big part in that. There is a big difference to going to a job and working your work. A lot of people go to their job and it just pays their bills and they don't see any purpose in it. And it really doesn't matter what job you have. There's a lot of people that we would look up to as being very successful that have that kind of attitude of, it's just a job I go to. There's no real purpose in it. If you've got purpose, you can dig holes and you find purpose in digging holes. You can do anything in life and career and business. If you work your work, you'll find purpose in it. See, potential is not released by showing up, although that's a good start. Showing up for your job, showing up for your work, showing up for your business and being ready for what you got to do is always a good place to start. And it's not, potential is not released by just going on autopilot and doing what you can do and just doing it and you've done enough. You've done enough and the attitude is, that'll do. I think that for all of us, we need to learn to push past the resistance of being ordinary in our workspaces and become extraordinary. To be light and shine and to be the best that we can possibly be and to bring productivity into the workplace for our managers, for our supervisors, for our bosses or for our business, whatever it is that you do. So when you work the work, you're not satisfied to just be what you've always been. You strive to move forward, to move life forward, because you know that's providing for you. It's providing for your household, for your family, for your loved ones. It's providing so you have resource to bless other people, to give, whatever it might be. If you're not working, you can't do that. You can't help. You can't be involved in people's worlds that way. So see your work as being something that's beneficial to you and to others, to your now and your future, that helps unfold the plan and the purposes of God. In regards to your work, don't have an entitlement mentality. Just bring a sense of adding value. I add value with whatever I do. In other words, do more than expected, go above and beyond. Do more than is expected of you. Working the work means do all you can with what you have. Be innovative, be creative. Release your inner genius. Do you know there's a genius, not a genie. There's a genius in every one of us. There's creativity that God has planted in every single one of us. Release that in your business, in your career, in your workplace. Release the God-given potential of excellence in your work and see purpose in what you do. If you see purpose in what you do, you probably won't do what you do forever, because promotion and opportunity will come your way and God will open doors to have your potential escalating throughout the pathway of your journey. What work does is it provides for you. It empowers you to bless others. And it empowers you to live well. So working your work is a very practical, important aspect of realizing your potential. Next is to see your pain as having purpose. See pain as having purpose. This is a very practical, very basic area of life where people often hit a zone in life where they stop and they can't move on because of a tragedy, because of pain, because of heartache, because of disappointment, disillusionment, because of lost opportunity, broken dreams, broken hearts, whatever it might be. Your journey, my journey, our journey will always involve pain. Yeah. There is always purpose in pain. Pain has a purpose. When your body is in pain, the purpose is to let you know that something's wrong in your body. Yeah. When your body screams at you, it's like, slow down. Yeah. You're running too hard. You're doing too much. You need to rest. You need to recover. You need to eat better. You need to sleep better. You need to take some medication, whatever it might be. Have a holiday, whatever it might be. Your body screams out when it's in pain. And the pain moments of life is life screaming at you that something needs to be addressed. Yeah. Something needs to be addressed. Some potential that is placed in our life is only released in seasons of pain. In seasons of pain. Seasons of pain are often the greatest growth opportunities that you will have. The greatest growth opportunities that you will have. And my advice is, don't waste your pain. Don't waste your pain. Don't go through a painful season, a painful moment, a painful episode, and not take the seed out of it for the future. The seed of pain. Take it with you so you can help others when they are in their moment of pain. or it will help you in your next season of pain. You know, trial and testing and pain, what it does is it teaches us so much about ourselves, about others, about life, about faith, about God. And really, every single person and human being will have their moment of being tested with pain. Of being tested with pain. Ask anyone in the room that has grey hair or no hair. Grey hair or no hair, and they will tell you about some moments of pain. And I'll tell you what they'll also do. They'll hold your hand and they'll smile and they'll tell you it'll be okay. What you think now is going to destroy your life, in 20 years you'll look back and it was a moment. It was a moment. It was a moment. Now when you're in your moment, you think it couldn't get any worse. But when you talk to an old timer and you talk to one of them, I've had some old timers in my world. He's had some blokes in my world and they were hard working sheep farmers. They were hard men. And they'd grab you on the shoulder as a young pastor. And when their hand came on your shoulder, you knew their hand came on your shoulder. Gnarly old hands. They'd go, "It's going to be okay, son. It'll be okay. You'll be right. You'll be right." And what gave them the right to say that? They'd seen a couple of moments. They'd seen a couple of seasons. They'd seen a couple of things happen in community and the world, and they've come through them. I love that about old people. I do. I love that about them. Bible says, no, I haven't got this verse up here. The Bible says this, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4. It says, "God comforts us in our troubles so that we can comfort others. When others are troubled, we'll be able to give them the same comfort God has given us." That's why I love old people. They can put their hand on your shoulder. You know, when you're going through a marriage that's breaking, or a relationship that is devastating, or a financial ruin, they can put a hand on your shoulder and they can go, "It'll be okay. It'll be okay. I know it's not okay now, but it will be okay. You will be okay. You are enough." And that does something to you when a human being speaks the word of God to you like that. It does something to you. It's one thing to have God speak it, but how beautiful is it to have someone that's been through something like that put their hand on your shoulder and tell you, "You'll be okay." You know, when it's your turn for pain, remember, it's not what happens to you that's important. It's how you handle what happens to you. Esther handled her pain moments with dignity and poise and maintained her beauty in a lot of ugly moments that allowed God to open up the opportunity for her to become the queen and to speak up on behalf of her people and be instrumental in setting her people free. God always has a plan when we have pain. And when I'm in pain, I need to say to God, "What's the plan? What's the plan, God? There must be something big going to happen. There must be something good going to happen because I'm in pain." When you're in pain, pray the potential. That's my next practical point. When you pray, pray potential. When you pray, don't whine, don't whinge, don't complain. Pray the potential. Don't just pray the problem. Anyone in the room get sick and tired of hearing everybody's problems? We all do. If all you hear is problems all the time, it just weighs you down, taking on the burden of everybody's problems. I'm sure God has those days and thinks, "Does anyone else want this job? Because all people pray about is their problems all the time." I think if we're going to be the people of faith that God wants us to be and to understand the faith pathway, we need to learn to pray the potential and pray the promise and pray the purpose more than we pray the problem. A lot of people just pray the problem. Praying the problem is probably a place you start, but don't finish there. I think prayer should be more on the offensive than on the defensive. That we are on the attack, praying for what God wants to do, plans to do, should do, said he would do. Mark 11:24, Jesus said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe you've received it and it will be yours." So pray the potential. That's what Jesus is saying. Whatever you ask for in prayer, believe you've received it and it will be yours. And so that verse encourages me to pray believing. I don't pray control. I don't control what's going to happen, but I pray believing for what God has said. In other words, I'm praying the potential. So I pray the blessing. I pray the open door. I pray the opportunity. I pray over the purpose. We're almost finished. We're doing good. Be a contributor, not a consumer, is another very practical area of how we do the potential journey with God. In other words, we go from the me to the we. We understand the world is more about others than it is about me. And my journey is more about others than it is about me. You see, when you're a child, you make it all about yourself. That's what children do. In a child's world, in their little mind, they are the only one that's important. It's their party. It's their toy. It's their moment. When you're a child, that's how you behave. When you become an adult, and the Bible says when we become adults, we put away childish things. And so we think differently, we behave differently. Maturity is about becoming a contributor, not a consumer. We all start consumers, but we grow into becoming a contributor. We do it naturally in our families. You don't ask your child to pay board when they're five. Do you? I hope not. You don't ask a child to pay board, but there does come a time when you need to ask your teenager to contribute. Maybe they make their bed. Maybe they fold the washing. Maybe they set the table. Every teenager in the room is hating on me right now. Maybe they wash up. Maybe they help the lawn, mow the lawn, do the garden. Maybe they give Dad a foot massage when he comes home from work, or Mum. How am I going, parents? Doing all right? Maybe they pay some rent, some board. Maybe they contribute. How good does a parent feel when their teenager offers to wash up? What a dream. When they offer to help you and you're slaving out in the hot garden. When they come home with their paycheck and they earn that $50 and they give $5 for board. So good. God loves it too. When we grow up and we put away childish things and we start to contribute and we start to build and we start to partner with him. You see, contributors think we. They think above and beyond themselves. Contributors don't do what's convenient. Contributors do whatever it takes. Whatever it takes. We contribute when we engage with God's plan. We contribute when we engage with God's plan to build his church and to establish his kingdom here on earth. We contribute when we, in terms of a church community, we continue and we join and get involved in team and we serve. We do something. We do something. Rather than just observe, we're involved. Involved. We contribute when we join things like a connect group and a group that comes together and does the journey together. We contribute. We're building church. We contribute when we share our faith. We continue when we give financially. We contribute when we tithe. All these things, the ways that we contribute. We contribute when we're friendly to people and we share our world with people in hospitality, in the cafe. That's all part of contributing. You know, I think it's difficult to fully appreciate what you're not fully invested in. Brad said it before around the offering moment, that our heart is where our money is. We give towards things that are important to us. It's really difficult to appreciate what you're not fully invested in. When people are not fully invested in their relationship with God, their faith, their church, they hold it lightly. They don't really appreciate its value. They don't appreciate it for what it is and what it should be, what it could be. Can I encourage you as I close and draw this series to a close? Live fully invested. Jesus didn't call us to live interested. He called us to live invested. Don't live interested. Live invested. Live invested. If you live invested, the potential of God on you and in you will start to work through you, and the plan will start to unfold. You have everything you need. You are enough. Would you stand to your feet? You are enough. You're enough to be who God has called you to be. You have enough to do what God has called you to do. You may not look like it. You may not even feel like it. You may feel more like the ugly duckling who found herself in a pond of ducks but didn't felt quite like she looked like everyone else, didn't sound like everyone else. And you know the story. The sense of purposelessness for the ugly duckling until she found that she wasn't actually a duck. She had a long neck, looked different to all the other ducks. And it wasn't until she went to another pond and she found all these beautiful swans with long necks, and she grew into what she was to become. Don't judge yourself by the people around you, no matter who that be. The potential that God has placed in you is unique to you. You don't have to be anything to impress anyone else. One of the things that comes with maturity is the sense that I don't need to be validated by anybody. I don't need to prove anything to anybody. I can just be who God has called me to be. And that is such a comfortable place to be. There is nothing worse than being a duck in a swan's pond, or a swan in a duck's pond. You are enough. You are individual. You are individualized. You are unique. You are amazing. You are beautifully broken and restored. You are a miracle in the making. And there is purpose in your pathway despite the problems you're having to overcome. And don't ever let the problem become an excuse. Consult your Creator and stay true to the path. Keep the faith, hold the weight of the fact that you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this. This is your turn. This is your time. Don't miss your turn. Don't miss your time. Don't allow yourself to be distracted or excused from your moment. This is it. You get one shot at this. 30, 50, 70, 80 years, whatever God gives you. This is your moment. Live it. Don't die not living. When you take your last breath, let it be, thank God, I'm done. I've lived. I had the privilege of attending the funeral of our bookkeeper, David Sicklin, in Ballarat this week. It was a very touching and emotional moment. He's been my bookkeeper for 33 years. As I told you last week, our auditor and our bookkeeper, the best of friends. They were the best of friends. They'd worked together for 33 years. They both died in the same week almost, 7 days apart. And I went to David's funeral. And what an honor it was to be there on our behalf as a church, to witness a life well lived, an amazing legacy, and a man that was ready to go and meet his maker. He'd gone the week before to his church, stood in front of 2,000 people and said, I'm ready to go to heaven. He'd been told he had 3 months to live. He died within about 4 days. But he died ready. I've run my race. I've been poured out. It's like the Apostle Paul. It's beautiful. Don't waste your life. Give it everything you got. It's your turn. It's your time. I want to pray for you today. There is so much potential in this room. There is so much potential in this room to do good, to do amazing things, that God could use every one of us is my prayer, and I want to pray for every one of us today. Would you bow your head if you're online today? lean into this moment while we pray together and ask God to unpack everything that is placed within us. Father, we thank you today for the potential that's on every life and in every person. It doesn't matter what our experiences have been, what the moments have been in life. Doesn't matter what our gender, doesn't matter what our skin color, our language, our socioeconomic situation is, doesn't matter our marital status, it doesn't matter. What matters is that we know that we are enough and we have enough and that God turns all things for good for those that love Him and are called according to His purpose. And so I speak purpose into every one of us today to understand it's our turn, it's our time, and I'm not going to miss my turn, and I'm not going to miss my time. But I'm going to live equipped by all the power of God for this moment you've given me here on earth to do good, to be good, to build with you, God, to help build your kingdom, to help build your church, to help influence and bring people into the kingdom of God, for people that will do good in our world. Father, people in this building today, online today, that will be raised up in life and understand that they have been brought to the kingdom for such a time as this. To live with that conviction, to live with that empowerment, to live with that awareness, to live with that understanding, God, that there is so much good for us to be involved with and for us to do. So I offer no excuse. No excuse. We want to leave it all on the field. That's what we want to do. Help us to do the little things well so that you will create bigger, brighter, better opportunities for every single one of us. For people that are struggling today in terms of their belief, in terms of their belief about themselves, in terms of their belief about where they are and who they are in life, help them today to take on that Esther spirit is what I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Come on, why don't we give the Lord a hand, church? Come on. Jesus, thank you. Thank you. I want to give a shout out today. And
we give you the highest.
That'll do. Today. I think it was 57 years. Would that be right, Merv? Give him a big hand. What a great effort. Pat and Merv, you're an inspiration to all of us. Thank you so much for being
who you are. I also wanted to let you know that Petrus Rahani has gone back to Indonesia. Gail is here this morning. Petrus will be away for about 3 months. He's on a missions trip in Indonesia. Petrus and Gail were missionaries and pastors in Indonesia for a considerable amount of time in their journey, and he's gone back for the 50th anniversary of the first church that they planted in Indonesia. So what a good deal for him to be doing that, and we celebrate Petrus and Gail and honor them. And you know, we were asking Petrus to be involved in our service next week, and he came to me at the end of the service last Sunday and said, I'm going away for 3 months. I go, oh, really? God bless him. Be praying for him, if you would, please. Cafe's open for hospitality right now. Why don't you find some people, grab some coffee, some food, enjoy some fine fellowship. Thank you for being in church today. God bless you. God bless our online community today. So good to have you with us today. Thank you. Have an amazing week. God bless.